Good Sunday evening to you. It's the Georgia Show presented, as always, to you by Dogs HQ. I'm Jake Roos. He's Rusty Mansell. It was not an easy evening for anybody to live through last night. I will just go ahead and put that out there. And before we talk about why that is the case, do want to shout out our friends at Modelo.
No question in Modelo season.
I feel like Georgia is doing right by Modelo this season, because if you are trying to take the edge off of what you're seeing on the field, Modelo is probably the way to do that. The official beer of the college football playoff. Modelo, light, easy drinking, a great beer for your tailgate or just sipping through the week. So grab yourself a Modelo. Go Dogs, go Modelo. And yeah, like I said, it's you might need them after what we see. Rusty, it was, I'm not even really sure how to begin talking about this. I just said, so about last night. One of the weirdest games that I can remember in a long time for so many reasons, Rusty. The numbers don't make sense. The time of possession doesn't make sense. The officiating was outrageous. This one had a little bit of it all, man. And it was not pretty, and it didn't feel good. And quite honestly, after a few Modelos, I woke up this morning thinking, did they really win that game by 10 points? It sure didn't feel like that, but it was all over the board in Auburn, man.
Yeah, man. I texted somebody earlier. I said, I felt like, have you ever seen that meme when Chris Farley's got his hair just straight up and he's just sitting there and he's just exhausted? That's the way I felt at the end of the game last night. I was like, what the hell just happened? You know what I mean? Like, usually on the dog walk on Dogs HQ, you know, I'm gonna type up a summary and I'm gonna do all this and that. And what I literally went on our board and said, hey guys, Georgia won by double digits. Kirby Smart has 110 wins and go Dogs. I didn't know what to say. It was one of those things. It was just like really hard to piece everything together, how everything unfolded, because the way the game started again, you're like, oh gosh. And you know, kind of gave me, Jake, I don't know about you, but this one kind of gave me the Ole Miss vibe last year. Like, they have no answer right here. Like, this could get out of hand real quickly. Like, this could be 28 to nothing. And quite frankly, if not for a damn good play by Redlon Wilson and C.J. Allen, that thing's 17 to nothing. And, you know, that's a totally whole nother discussion. But, like, it was close to being a three touchdown margin at the half. And you know, you 2 minutes later or 30 minutes later after review, 2 minutes of playtime, it's 10-3 and Georgia gets the ball back. So it was crazy how everything unfolded right there. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to break this game down. We're going to talk about everything, but I want to say this early on, and I want to say this real clear. Thank you for everybody checking in, man. Appreciate y'all. Got our normal guys. How about my guy Mike Free from Pearl Harbor? Go Dogs.
Yeah, baby. Man. We got Milford, Michigan in the house today. Our friend Northern Dog checking in. Appreciate that, man. And, yeah, shout out to Mike from Pearl Harbor coming in with us this evening. We got Swainsboro in the house, Nashville in here. Chambers County, Alabama, the natives here are upset, says Chad Rowlett. I bet they are, Chad. I bet it is a
Chad, I don't know if I'm wearing the old Georgia shirt maybe until about Tuesday. I know you probably got going to beat your chest a little bit there, but might want to back that one off tomorrow. But I do want to say this, and I want to say this early on, man. Just the way this team fights back, it's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Like, and I'll say this, that J.D. Pickell put out something on social media tonight, and I think he was spot on. He said this Georgia team is never uncomfortable. And he goes, you know why? Because they go through absolute hell on Tuesdays. He goes, the culture that Georgia has, what Kirby Smart does, the bloody Tuesday, the fighting your ass off on Mondays, and all these things, you're never out of it, and you feel like you just got to fight, scrap, get back in the game. And damn if they didn't, man. They just – it's crazy. We're not going to bring up that loss, but they almost came back and beat Alabama. You know what I mean? And – you come back the way you did against Tennessee, and you come back last night, and the way you flipped that game, Let me give you two things. I'm going to get way down the line.
I feel like you and I, like, I have this exact thing pulled up, and I think we have maybe the same thing we are looking at right now.
Go ahead. Pull it up. Hell, let's get to it, man. We can do all this stuff.
If Rusty Mansell, I had told you that at the half of the half of the ball game, Georgia had 78 yards to 237. Oh, and in the first quarter, they had 10 to 1 yards, 141 yards to 14 yards. That's insane. I would have said that team is going to lose. If you had told me at the half that Georgia would have 8 minutes and 5 seconds of possession versus Auburn's 21:55 and come back and win the time of possession battle,
yeah,
not in a million years. I would have lost everything I own.
So going into that play, you go into that play to where, and by the way, they had to review the play before, which was right on Jackson Arnold, is elbow being the, you know, his forearm being down. So it had to make the run. But if you go from that play and you go back to the start of the game, Bruce, Auburn had 235 yards total offense. Georgia had 20. I mean, they can bust. I mean, they had 20 yards, man. And then they ended up with 296 total yards. And they had no answer for Auburn. Couldn't get nothing going offensively. And credit Auburn. I said this last night on Twitter, too, or on our board. I've never seen anybody play. We were going to have answers on Gunnar Stockton because a lot of people were playing him zone, okay? And that's kind of been what the recipe is, okay? Let's play Gunnar Stockton zone and make him pick you apart, make him, you know, throw in some tight windows and those type of things. But sit back and you spy him, not to let you hurt it. Auburn came after him.
I thought they damn near killed him a couple of times. I mean, was that one shot from Woodyard where, I mean, he just ran through him like he wasn't there. And when he laid him out, the targeting hit from Kay and Lee, another big shot. I mean, just listen, say what you want about Gunnar Stockton as a passer, as a quarterback, whatever. Gunnar Stockton is tough as – I mean, he's tough as leather, brother. I mean, dude can absolutely just take one and keep it rolling, man, and in a way that is super impressive. And I think, Rusty, part of that, and I think it's what we're kind of getting at here, that kind of bounce back, that resilience, I think that spills over into this team. And I think that there is, you know, some similarity in quality there that you see between – how Gunnar Stockton is handles his business on the field and how Georgia ultimately handles its business over the course of a game as well.
I'm looking at the play sheet here. I like to get real football nerd. First quarter, Auburn goes 14 plays, 75 yards, 7 minutes and 21 seconds.
Exactly what Alabama did.
Exactly what Alabama did. Oh, and they double it up. Oh, by the way, so Georgia has 6 plays in the first quarter for 14 yards, 3 minutes possession. Auburn gets the ball right back. They go 12 plays, 70 yards for another 5 minutes and 32 seconds. So it's 10 to nothing. And luckily the defense, you know, kind of held on right there. It could have been 14 to nothing quickly. So, guys, I don't know what's going on with the starts, and we can get negative all you want to. We can fire everybody all you want to. You can do all those things, and I understand the emotions of a game. I can't get over this damn team and the way they fight, man. I'm telling you, it's the damnedest thing I've ever seen with a football team. And I was talking to somebody today. I said, man, I don't know when they're ever going to be out of one. You know, you got to knock them out. You got to knock Georgia completely out. You got an old school Mike Tyson, you know, you got to knock Georgia out. If you give them a standing eight count, you can't give them a chance. And man, that's something about this team. Is this the most talented football team Georgia's had under Kirby Smart? It's not. But I don't know that I've seen this kind of, like, I don't know where they're digging in and finding this stuff. And if they can put it together and start the games like that, of course everybody wants to do that. But you gotta just breathe a little bit and look, golly, man, what a damn team. What a fight, and what a way to overcome something like that. It's crazy that what this team is doing. And every week's another insane battle this week. And this is the team, really. If you think about it, Roos, 2 years ago, Georgia ran Ole Miss out of the building, dropped 51. Oh, yeah. They dropped 51 on them. Bobo puts six. I think the story I heard was Bobo put 600 yards of offense. I think it was 601 yards of offense, and there's like a play left, and they wanted to take a knee, and Bobo wouldn't do it. He goes, I'm not losing 601. So he made him hand the ball off, and he kept his 600 yards. He goes, I'm getting damn 600 yards. So, you know, you look, and then last year Ole Miss ran Georgia out of that building. So, you know, there's two sides of this game coming up. It's a top 10 game, game day, all that stuff. But I just cannot get over how this damn team just finds a way, man. And Gunnar Stockton – oh, I can't. Gunnar Stockton has not moved today. I don't know. I promise you that man on his couch, and he probably had to go get treatment and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, the guy was in four car wrecks last night, basically. Minimum. He was in four car wrecks, and then he dies for the damn, you know, end zone. So just really crazy, man. It is absolutely nuts how Georgia found a way to win that game, and the way they did it, Bruce, was crazy.
Lays out the Superman in front of Cam Newton on Cam Newton jersey retirement night.
I didn't realize.
I didn't either, but I've seen it today, and I was like, holy cow, wow, how poetic.
And then Oscar Delp gives the 2010 dab, you know what I mean? He's standing right there, and he gives the Cam Newton his signature move, you know? And I was like, oh, no. But I will say this, when he scored – I thought to myself, what if he would have slid down? Because it was a minute 53. They have first down. Auburn has one timeout. You nail it three times, the ball game's over. And I know it's going to shock you. My math wasn't clicking enough. I thought there's no way they can run it out. Don't you think that Kirby Smart didn't get in Gunnar Stockton's butt as soon as he got to the sideline? Because that was the first thing he told him. If you drop down, you know, and listen, the adrenaline flowing in a game like that, I damn sure would have scored too. There's no question I would have scored. I'd have been in trouble. But I know what Kirby was trying to say to him. If you go down, we nil it three times. The ball game's over. They have no chance. There's no onside kick. No, they don't touch a ball again. So it really is probably a teaching moment. But at the end of the day, what a freaking that's going to be on T-shirts everywhere. That Superman for Gunnar Stockton.
Absolutely. Crazy. Absolutely. Yep. I will tell you what will not be on T-shirts everywhere is the job of the officiating crew in Auburn, which was rusty, about as rough as I can recall. It felt like the last 2 minutes of the first half took about 30 minutes to complete. It was review after review. They were discombobulated. They didn't know what was what. There's all that, you know, hand-wringing today. Did Kirby get one over on him with a timeout, or was he calling for the clap for him? You know, the whole endlessly reviewed fumble. Was it a fumble? Was it? I'm curious your take on that one, watching that one at home. I'll be honest. I thought Auburn scored.
If I had to bet money, and they had all the scientific evidence, and they were able to really zoom in, and not talking about zoom in with some dude drawing a crayon on social media with a ruler, on a blur. It looked like the what's the Zapruder film from Kennedy, you know what I mean? It was real grainy and all that kind of stuff. You know, look, if I had to guess, I would probably say he scored. I don't know that, but I would it's just hard to see. What I like, and what was crazy to me, was the confusion that sets in there. But number two, the play by C.J. Allen, Randall Wilson, both of them punching it. Like, that is coached. That is – you're coming out of a timeout, out of a review. That's coached, okay? They're telling their two inside backers to punch that ball out. He's going to stretch it. So you do that. But what I couldn't understand was the way officiating has been over the last 2 years – when Kyron Jones picks that ball up, you let him score, you give him the touchdown, and then you start all the reviews. That, based off the way the play was called, that's a touchdown. Like, he never hit the ground. He scores.
Yes.
I was blown away at that part of it, too. Like, I just couldn't get it, man.
My contention all evening, and I said this multiple times on the board, I've said it today, somebody – should have scored a touchdown on that play. it should have either been Auburn or it should have been Georgia. Somebody deserved to score a touchdown on that play. And somebody on the board said, and they were right, they said, it takes real talent to disappoint two teams simultaneously.
I just don't know. I don't know enough. I mean, to me, I don't understand the technology, why we can't, you know, the grainy view of that. You know what I mean? You can't. And it's hard, too, to look at Raylan Wilson's arm, and he's extended. It's real close there. But, you know, it's just hard to kind of understand how you screw that up that bad. The worst call of the night, and I'm telling you right now, I don't give a damn who you're a fan of. The worst call of the night was the Cash Jones penalty.
Sure.
We're calling that a blindside block. When he is running parallel in front of a guy, he puts his helmet across him, and he blocks him. It's football. It's a violent game. If he's crack back blocking, that is a penalty straight up. But that I could not believe how bad of a call that was. And you think about that puts Colby Young down to the 3-yard line. You know, it was just wild, man. And you know, the timeout thing is so subjective, and what's going on here. Let me put that to rest. Okay, the next play was a penalty, and then Georgia misses a field goal. That has no ending on how the game determined, because there was no change score-wise. You lost a few seconds. Whether you thought that was a timeout or not, Georgia has one last timeout. Okay, they don't use them. They go to the house with timeouts. So, you know, the Cash Jones penalty was absolutely just terrible. They had some stuff there last night, and, you know, I know both sides. Both of those teams get great. Both of the – referee crew will get graded, and both schools will receive that on Monday. I would love to see the write up. I would love to see the write up on everything, you know. And there's a very strict policy on where that stuff is never released. And man, we might need to put Pete Nakos on that tomorrow. See if Nakos can get a copy of that report. I would love to see the actual grading and the reporting on that. But listen, man, at the end of the day, Georgia fights their ass off, and they go into Jordan Hare, which was insane. I knew it would be. I'm telling you that Auburn, I'm not the Auburn expert. They got guys. I don't know what is going on there defensively. They got freaking dudes, man. And Georgia.
Yes, that's an impressive front seven. It really is. Oh, and then they came after him all night. It was impressive to watch the Georgia, to watch Georgia overcome that and be able to withstand that. Before we shift off of this one, Rusty, I do have one more question for you, because I am curious. To me, this is one of those games I look back on, and I had a little bit of trouble at first thinking, who's my MVP on each side of the ball? And I'll tell you, offensively, I'm going to go with Colby Young. I thought that Colby Young, yeah. You want to talk, you said fight your ass off. Colby Young is earning his snaps, and it is clear why. He is out there when he is, because that dude fights for every single yard when he is out there. Defensively, I'll say I you could definitely go with CJ Allen, a tremendous game for him. I thought I lean toward Ellis Robinson, because I think this is a game we will look back on as Ellis Robinson's coming out party. Cam Coleman, I would be willing to bet good money, will be a first round NFL draft pick. In
no question.
And he was targeted three times last night, where Ellis Robinson was targeted covering him three times last night. One reception, 3 yards. That's big boy stuff, man.
Georgia has been different in the back end when they've done two things. They inserted Ellis Robinson, and they didn't quit on him. And they put DeMello Jones in. Now, Jake Rowe, in his X and O breakdown at our Dogs HQ Plus, we will dig into that this week. But Georgia did something last night defensively I haven't seen them do in a long time, the way they lined up. And that's just Jake Rowe. We've already had some text on it, so I don't want to steal his thunder, but we've talked a little bit about it. But putting DeMello Jones in and having him cover. Bruce, Eric Singleton, who's absolutely shredded Georgia 2 years in a row. I'm talking about nightmare stuff. And he catches a ball right off the bat. You're like, oh, boy, it's going to be a long night. Mm-hmm. Somebody in the game chat goes, Eric Singleton's about to win the Heisman. And I laughed. You know what I mean? Like, here it goes. Eric Singleton had 3 catches for 14 yards. He had three catches for 14 yards. Eric Singleton is one of the highest paid players that's not a quarterback. He was one of the highest paid players in the portal. This dude is making two comma money. I'm telling you, he had three catches for 14 yards, and that's their problem. But I'll tell you this, for the team that we cover, Ellis Robinson, DeMello Jones, and freaking Dalen Everett, those three guys. And K.J. Bolden is such a – you don't talk about K.J. Bolden because you know what you're going to get.
Right.
He's such a standard there. You know, some guys – I thought Ja'Cory Thomas missed a tackle one time. It cost him some extra yards. But, you know, it is what it is. But I think inserting DeMello Jones in that group has really changed things for Georgia. And I'll tell you this. The second half of Alabama, I felt like they trusted those guys more to cover. Just let you be an athlete. And that is one of the biggest things I think has changed. And we'll see how it goes, you know, where they answer and how they start out this week, because they're going to get tested this week, I promise you. But I really like the future with DeMello, because Dalen Everett is going to the NFL. But when you start talking about DeMello Jones and Dominic Kelly's a kid we really like, the young guy, yeah. I feel a lot better about the future for Georgia in the secondary.
Real quick here, a question from Jeff. He says, is something wrong with Chauncey Bowens?
He got banged up a little bit. I haven't been real, he scored a touchdown. Did he get it? He got to the one maybe and tried to stretch. Didn't really see him. He got something. He didn't look like himself last night. So it'd be Kirby, you know, we'll get a hold of Kirby tomorrow. Early, he'll get asked about that. We'll probably get a good report on Dogs HQ. Obviously, he was banged up last night. I don't know when he got banged up. Yeah, he scored. Thank you, Ty, my guy there from Nashville. He was a little banged up last night, part of the year. But you know, Chauncey, Georgia was unable to run the football consistently, and you see what happens without 33. I mean, Nate Frazier gave you some tough yards. Number two gave you some tough yards, but. Let's be honest, man, with 33 in there, it's a different run game.
Speaking of different, Whataburger, very different when it comes to the world of your fast food burger game. And they're still out doing the Whataburger Touchdown Tour. This weekend, you can catch them at the Patriots at the Titans. So if you happen to catch yourself up in Nashville on Sunday, go by, swing by the Whataburger food truck. You can get out there and enjoy yourself some good eats. From our friends over there. Listen, anytime you see a Whataburger pop up, the lines are wrapped around the building. They do the breakfast all day. They're open late. They do it right over at Whataburger. Fresh ingredients, great stuff, man. And listen, they were a Texas legend for a long time. They've expanded the reach. They're all throughout the Southeast. Get over, get yourself a little bit of Whataburger on the Touchdown Tour in Nashville this week. And then I do want to shout out our friends over at sunheist.com. Rusty, Christmas is approaching quickly, and a great gift for anybody in your life is a new pair of shades, man. They got a ton of customizable options over at sunheist.com, and the best part is you can get 20% off with code DOGSHQ20. They throw in the great accessory pack. They throw in the stickers. They throw in the microfiber cloth. They throw in the case. They've got the returns for free. The customer service is impeccable. On and on and on. They're a local Georgia business. We can keep talking about them, man. Listen, get over. Trust us on this. We use Sunheist. We wear Sunheist. It's a fantastic product. A great company that stands by the product as well. So get over there. Get your Christmas gifts loaded up.
Well, I'll tell you what. This must be great weather Saturday in Athens. You can order a pair tonight. You can order a pair tomorrow, you'd be ready to roll. They gave me some. They gave us some. I love them. I've been wearing mine like crazy. Really, really like it. A couple I like too.
Rusty, Ole Miss now looming for the Georgia Bulldogs. It's only Sunday, so we've got a lot to talk about when it comes to this upcoming game. But some early thoughts on this one for you. I'm curious. You know, look, Lane Kiffin is as hot of a name as there is out there in the coaching world. I think that. Basically, he's on the wish list of every team who's getting ready to make a move. I think I saw some mentions of him on the Penn State board earlier. They'd love to see him at Penn State. But he's done a
trust green pastures up there from a man. I don't know if he can do that.
He's done a fantastic job with this program in Oxford. What I guess looking at this matchup, what concerns you?
Pace and how quick they can score. You know, defensively, a lot better than people think. They're not as good as they were last year. And, you know, they had some animals up front, and they got after Georgia right off the bat and just manhandled them. They're going to be fast paced. The key to them is getting them off the field, because they're going to try to go so fast. Now, Georgia is going to work all week. This is going to be one of those games where, you know, you got a quarterback who's coming over from Division II, Ferris State, and he has played well. He has played well. He hasn't played in this environment yet. He has not played in Sanford Stadium when it's unhinged, and it's going to be unhinged. How does he react in that? What does he do communication-wise? He hasn't been in this setting. This is a big ask for him, and I would imagine that Kirby Smart at some point tomorrow is going to ask the fan base that we need you. He knows that the Georgia fans are going to show up. It's going to be a 3:30 game. It's going to be wild. It's going to be raucous. But it is a game, because I'm telling you, they like to go so fast. Communication there is key. They want to keep you on the field, and you got to be able to stop the run. They like to run the football. So defensively, I think it's a pretty – it's one of those things, Roosh, it's pretty even matchup. I think every week with SEC, it's crazy how many games are coming down to the end. Is this the new norm? I think it is.
Yeah, I do.
You know, I think it is. You know, every game seems to come down to the very end. But Georgia at home just been tough. Obviously, Alabama lost, broke a streak, but been pretty damn good at Athens. And last time Ole Miss ran in here, they dropped a 50 burger on them, I think, and 600 yards of offense, and they ran the Ole Miss scored, like, I know this is going to shock you. Ole Miss comes right down the field and scores. That game, I thought, boy, they got their hands full tonight, made some adjustments, and from then on out, they pretty much controlled that game. So it'll be interesting. There's a lot of people asking about Monroe Freeling. That was underrated, him coming in last year, because we really didn't anticipate him playing. And I think that Juan Gaston got banged up a little bit again. You know, he's battling it. When you're 360, you're going to battle an ankle until the offseason. You just are.
Yeah.
And they're just having to play him. And you know, he had some troubles. But, listen, they were playing probably two of the best edge guys in the league last night. So, but Monroe Freeland coming back, that's very good news. We'll see what Ernest Green can do. Because, listen, you can have your opinion on Ernest Green. But when Ernest Green's healthy, he's been really good. And he's playing a lot of these games. They're not going to put him out there at 50%. I would imagine right now probably Juan Gaston and Bo Hughley will be at that right tackle kind of rotation, what they've been doing, and another week of kind of rehab from Monroe Freeland. So I tell you what, man, it's a big one. It always is. Game day's there, so it's ramping up all week. You'll be able to feel the buzz on this one. Be a lot of social media around this game, and it's a big one.
Speaking of big decisions, MyPerfectFranchise.net. Get over, hook up with them. See if you can't shake things up in your business and personal life. A great opportunity to get over and explore the world of franchises if you're looking to go into business for yourself. Andy Ludeke and the team over there are willing to work with you and set you up with a situation that makes sense for you, your life, and your career. So get with them. Best part, services are free to you. The franchises pay them to bring you into the fold. So get over, see how Andy Ludeke and the team at My Perfect Franchise can help you today. Rusty, you jumped a little bit ahead of me here. You got game day on campus this weekend. It's going to make for a wild one. At this point, to some degree, Rusty, you kind of expect it at least once a year, it feels like, under Kirby Smart, man. I mean, they are making Athens kind of a permanent stop on this thing. And then, obviously, it's going to be a huge weekend for recruiting. It's a massive game for Georgia. A top 10 matchup, just a really, really great atmosphere for the Dogs. Anybody early that you're looking at making their way to Athens for this one?
The five-star running back was committed to Penn State a couple hours ago.
That's the name I'm watching on this one too. Kamon Spell is the one that young man.
He's a 2027 and we will get that list. You know, it'll be a who's who. You know what I mean? And to me, again, it's those 2026s, which is so different than where it was. It used to be, man, we got to get the top juniors here. We got to get the top sophomores here. Now it's like, we got to get our kids that are committed back in town. Let those guys hang out with each other. Get the Jared Curtis, the Justice Fitzpatrick's, the, you know, the Nick Abrams. They got so many kids from all over the country. You know, that's kind of where you are this day and age. Let's get these guys. Let's hold this class together. It seems to be holding together, and it'll be a great list. But obviously, with game day, and I think I saw Luke Combs is performing. So I don't know who, what, when, or where, but I would imagine that's Saturday morning. So it will be ramped up in Athens a few levels this weekend. But when game day, obviously, when game day comes, that sets things off a lot different. And you know, my question is, they didn't make the decision to come to Athens until this morning.
Right.
And yeah, I know that for 100% fact. My question is, how you jump on about 20, 25 hotel rooms for this late in the game? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Where are those rooms that somebody thought they had? That's the logistics side of me. You know what I mean? Like, because game day comes.
What Rusty's getting at here is contact your hotel reservations and make sure everything's still on the up and up, because Kirk Herbstreit might be displacing in the swing.
Yeah. Pat McAfee's got your VRBO, by the way. So, wow. Crazy, isn't it? Yeah, they'll broadcast all day. McAfee will broadcast all day Friday from inside the stadium. They'll have Kirby on probably Friday afternoon. They'll have Kirby on Saturday morning. It's next level when game day is something like that. But it's great. I know it's probably a headache behind the scenes for people, especially Kirby Smart, who's a creature of habit. Like, it is, he knows exactly how he wants it. He understands the big picture of that. You know, it's a big deal, man, to have your program exposure for that show to be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, look, we will have you covered on all things Georgia Ole Miss this week. Like Rusty said, we'll have that big list coming for you. Definitely going to be some names to watch on that one. Hey, I bet we see a committed name or two elsewhere pop up.
You can
pretty well count on it. And that, at this stage in the game, should give you some very clear indicators as to who the Dogs are really still chasing after. So much to get to. Jake Rowe will have X's and O's coming up, man. I mean, it's going to be a loaded week, as it always is over at Dogs HQ. So get over, hang out with us on the Dog Walk message board. Swing by. We're always there hanging out, taking your questions, talking barbecue, just shooting the bowl, man. That's as my papa would say. So get over and hang out with us, and come see what we got going on. It's a great week to be part of it.
Last thing there, Dennis Lane, good get there, guys. If you're tuning out, thank you for being here. You can switch right over SEC Network. That's right. It's about a good time. Georgia just went three and out for about the third time, and you got rid of all the three and outs, so now we can watch a little football. So thank you, Dennis. And I want to end this tonight. I want to say this, and you know, I'm a big believer, and I feel like God's given me a platform over the years. It's unbelievably large somehow, but I got someone very close to me that's battling for their life tonight. I want you to keep my former high school coach, one of my high school coaches, Coach Horn, in your prayers. He is battling for his life right now, and got the text this morning. And I just want to share that. And please, if you into that type of thing, please keep Steve Horn, one of my dear friends and a coach of mine in high school, my basketball coach and my football offensive coordinator. And now he's a friend of mine. We play golf three or four times a year, and he's battling for it. He needs your prayers. And I thank you for everyone that would accept that and do that for me.
Absolutely. Big prayers up for Coach Horn, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in this evening. We'll be back with you very, very soon.